So it is my joy to preach to you all today from the Word of God. Amen. I want to start today by talking about the heart. The heart is a very powerful but very delicate organ of the body, and our bodies require it to function. So we might, because I was going to use the heart today, I thought it was fantastic that we had the bacon bonanza last week, right? Because I want to talk about heart attacks. So every year at the hospital, I am required to take a CPR course as a hospital employee. And I am not an official CPR trainer, nor do I ever want to be an official CPR trainer. But in this last class, I learned one thing. I guess there was a recent switch that I thought was pretty cool, and I wanted to highlight that today. But first, I wanted to ask, is there anyone in the congregation that knows a little bit about CPR? Yeah, could one of you come up and help me? Come on, Joel. All right. All right. So what do you know about, here, take it. What do you know about CPR?
I'm a lifeguard, so we have to know CPR.
Okay. So what is it all about?
It's about trying to get the heart moving again so that you can get the blood circulating until you can get the defibrillator and restart it on its own.
Okay. So, and why are the chest compressions or the heart pump so important?
Because that keeps the blood moving in the body, so all the organs in the brain still have oxygen.
Right. So as one big system, the blood needs to keep flowing and flowing inside. Awesome. Thanks, Joel. All right. Yeah. Great. So our blood carries oxygen throughout our system. And what happens is, if we look at this from a spiritual model, the Holy Spirit's kind of like that oxygen. We breathe it in, we breathe it out, it flows through us. And what happens is when our heart stops, nothing can keep flowing. Okay? And so those chest compressions are for that oxygen to keep flowing and flowing so there's no brain damage and no organ damage. Now, could someone live their life on CPR alone? Be kind of funny, right? Becky up here just pumping my heart over and over and over again. But without fresh oxygen to the body or without restarting that heart again with a defibrillator or AED, I think it's called, that will just pass away. We'll use up all the oxygen in our body and pass away. So we need to be able to insert fresh oxygen to our body. But today, I want to focus a bit about the pumping of the heart, because I believe spiritually that joy is part of that pump, pump, pump of the heart. And I believe joy is what we need in our church and in our individual lives. Celebration is what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to rejoice. He wants us to rejoice with Him and with each other, and to share and connect with each other this joy. Joy is not just the time between struggles. It's the inner drive inside of us and the strength that comes from our relationship with Christ. We cannot live on CPR alone with just someone pumping our chest over and over again. We need to get our heart pumping again, and we need to look to God for help, to help align us in His ways for His rhythms and His joy. So, my first verse, Nehemiah 8:10, you may know it. It's the last part of Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Now, I don't know who knows much about Nehemiah, but joy is not the first thing that comes to mind when I think about Nehemiah. I think of hard work through perseverance. I think of rebuilding the wall. I think of God having a purpose and a call for us to finish what He has started. So, joy in this context is not just this happy or positive thought type of thinking. It's something that's deep inside of us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy keeps the heart pumping. And it's those moments of joy that keep our mind set on what God has for us and His will. So today, my main reading is from Philippians chapter 4. So you want to turn me, Philippians chapter 4. It's going to be projected behind me, but if you want it in the Pew Bible, it's 1163. We're going to read verses 4 through 7. So Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So what is this passage telling us? It's telling us that God is near and that He hears us. I would go as far to say when we have a right alignment with God, He's got our back, which is awesome. Rejoice, Christians. I say again, rejoice, because God is there and He hears you. In the translation, rejoice, it's a pretty simple one. It says to have joy. But when I was doing some research on this, Charles Spurgeon had another thing. He said, to joy is one thing, but to rejoy is doubly so. It's to joy again. And Paul says it again. He says it twice here. It says, rejoice, I say again, rejoice. So this spiritual discipline, this practice of joy, is something that we need to continue to have and practice through our lives. Now, as I was thinking about this sermon and trying to write a wonderful illustration of joy for y'all, I woke up one morning and I was like, what am I going to do? Should I go to my computer? What should I do? And I heard a little knock on my door. I heard, Daddy, Daddy. My son Daniel, he's almost 3. Hopefully he'll make it to 3. And I will tell you that many times my son seems like a never-ending fountain of joy. So I spent some time with him that morning and to see how he practiced joy. And I sat in his room and watched him jump up and down on this trampoline he got for Christmas for about 15 or 20 minutes. Thank you, Kling and Peels, by the way. But he was jumping high, he was jumping up and down, he was jumping round and rounds, backwards, forwards, hanging on the bars, and other things I'm not going to tell because my wife's in the room. But the point is, he had the largest smile on his face as he was attempting to show off for his dad what things that he could do. And so my heart warmed with joy, and I knew happiness. But I guess, was it joy for him and for me? And something I realized, joy is about the moment of the right timing and alignment in that moment. And knowing that I am doing the things I need to do right then for myself and for God. And so Daniel, my 2.5, hopefully 3-year-old someday, lives a very simple life, but I believe joy came to him in that moment. Not because of all the fun he was having jumping down the trampoline, because all the hard work he had done in practicing his discipline of jumping, so he was able to share that moment with me, his father. And I felt joy because I was able to share that moment with him. And God was in that moment. And it was the timing of that moment that helped that joy happen. So in our passage today, I believe that Paul is reflecting on how we pray to God and the joy that comes from a God who hears and listens to our prayers. Even more importantly, how this relationship of prayer changes us in the process. Trust is the biggest part of any relationship. The passage says, do not be anxious about anything, but give it to God. With thanksgiving, give it to God. Joy is not happiness. This is the reason why gratification in our culture falls short of filling us with joy. This device does not give me joy. The scanning the internet for who knows what does not bring me joy. Movies and video games, and I'm talking to myself when I say video games, guys, do not bring me true joy. Alcohol, parties, food, anything that comes between us as an idol, as you seek God or as a replacement for God's joys, will not do you well on this spiritual journey. Again, joy is about our right alignment with God and praying for the things that are of God. In this passage, Paul gives us a model for prayer. First, we give him our adoration, our praise. I like that. I'm all about praise. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And this joy is all about God and His will. To be attuned to God is to love God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And he continues to say, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, have prayer and petition." So humbly we come to God with supplication. I come before God for the work that He can do in my life, the work that He can do to help me align with His joys in my life. Humble prayers like, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Prayers like, "Let the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord." Or, "Renew a right spirit within me, God." We come to God humbly so that He can help us change, so He can help us grow. And the good news about joy is that God is powerful. When we ask these kinds of things to God in prayer, He will do a mighty work inside of us. When we seek Him to help us change, He will show up because He's already there. Be near, for God is near. He hears you. And the last part of this passage is about appreciation. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And I know this kind of sounds like adoration or praise again, but these are two different types of things. We need to recognize both the big and the little moments of God's work that He has already done inside of us and the things that He's going to do. And I'll tell you, I seem to experience God most in those little moments. From the time with my wife, the time with my son, or even just a nice sunny day driving on God's beautiful earth. Like the other day with my son, I could have just set my mind on, I am supposed to go on the computer and research what joy is, and just completely ignored him. But then I would have missed what God was doing. The joy that God had set before me, my to-do list, my task list, sometimes get in the way. I need to be appreciative and content in those moments and live with God in that moment so I can see the windows of opportunity as they come up. I can't look so much towards the next things I need to do or things I feel or things I want or deserve. God's plan for us is to have an attitude of gratitude. In my days as a therapist, at Olean General, I have encountered many, many people who have had tragedy in their life through illness or circumstance. I've been given the ability to give therapy to people who are in their last days of life, or people who all they have is nothing but the clothes on their back. A common thread that I see that gets them through these times is gratitude. It may take some weeding through different emotions, but thankfulness heals. And we need to bring this to God in order for us to have our joy. Because joy is not found in singing certain songs or exercising certain spiritual gifts. Joy is found in trusting God for those moments in obedience to Him. And as the song goes, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy. To be happy in Jesus, or trust in Him. Okay, sorry, I have to sing it. Sorry, I have to finish the thing. All right. This is when the power of Jesus reaches into our life and redeems it for His glory. There can be joy when once there was mourning. And I believe our church needs to rejoice in the miracles and works God has done so far this year. So in our church, I think they're hiding. We have babies, right? Cute little ones, and we can rejoice in those families that have those babies and enjoy that and share our joy connecting with each other. I remember a time in this church in which we were praying for children to come to this church. We had zero for a while, and we were on our knees fervently praying that more and more children would come to this church. And since that time, God has been faithful. He's brought children. We had a bit of a baby boom. You know, maybe we'll have a second one. I don't know. But we need to keep that in our mind in prayer, that God will bring families and bring children to this church, and that we can love on them and impact their lives for Christ. And I could not tell you the number of times of prayer throughout this last few months that I've been praying for healing and miracles in people's lives. Again, there's been healing, spiritual healing from demons and all those dark forces out there. There's been emotional healing, and there's been physical healing. And I believe that Jerry Anderson is alive today because of prayer. I give full credit to all the doctors, but that's what I believe. So, and I believe that we need to rejoice and celebrate these things. Be like, yo, God, yeah. And we need to share these things together as the body of Christ. Because God brings about transformation in our lives through the spiritual discipline of joy. Did Christ have joy? Valid question, right? I think everything that Christ did was for the good of God the Father. And He did those things joyfully. And that Christ is our example of how to accomplish this. So one factor in spiritual disciplines is that to become more like Christ, joy is a part of this. A sense of thanksgiving, not a chore or labored feeling, not a legalistic list of to-dos and to-don'ts, but through our desire to grow closer and closer to God, God helps us decide the standards that we're going to have in our life. And when I start to think about becoming more Christ-like, I think of these practices. Hopefully they're up there. Yeah, they're there. Prayer, meditation, fasting, study, solitude, submission, service, worship, and confession. All of these are spiritual practices that you can go deeper and deeper in your relationship with Christ. Heavy disciplines to practice, but to do them all with joy. Because joy is the end product of discipline. And I don't like the word discipline because it has a bad connotation, right? I'm not a drill sergeant saying we need to be disciplined, but a practice of becoming more like Christ. The product of that is joy. So, and I believe this is the rejoice in the passage that Paul gave us. Paul's call to us is to rejoice in God and align ourselves to His will. Spiritually, we cannot live our life on CPR. We can't just pump what's inside of us and expect to be full of life and energy, conquering the world. Joy helps our heart pump by our faithful actions reliance on Him for everything. This helps the Holy Spirit move through our body like oxygen in the bloodstream, filling us and helping us through God's power to do great things in His name. And I believe it's very fitting that we have communion today. So as I was reading about the discipline of joy, the topic of ancient Israel came up. And now when I think of ancient Israel, party is not the first word that comes to my mind either. But they had week-long wedding feasts with celebrations and wine and all sorts of fun things. And in my study here, it said ancient Israel was commanded to gather together three times a year to have feasts and celebrate the goodness of God.